Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. And this is episode 111, Amateur Nation is a Joke. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Lou Santini Entertainment. Also follow me on Instagram, LouSantini3. And on both of those platforms, you will see sneak peek videos, 60-second little vignettes and audio clips for upcoming episode. And also in case you missed it, so you can get caught up. This show is now heard on Player FM, which makes 16 platforms you can hear this show. And please download my book if you haven't already, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, downloaded on Amazon for less than $5. A lot of truth, a lot of laughs. Topic number one. Again, this show's alternate title could now be Surreal Nation. Here's your idiotic headline that I feel stupid reading from the DailyMail.com. Pepe Le Pew is cut from Space Jam 2 following allegations that the amorous French skunk normalized rape culture and taught boys that no didn't really mean no. Where to begin with this topic? First of all, anyone with common sense knows that rape is an act of violence, not sex, love, or romance. Secondly, as someone who grew up watching Pepe Le Pew as a fan of the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, never in my tiny young mind then or any time between then and now did I equate his persistence in pursuing what he thought was a female skunk, but rather a black cat with a white spilled paint stripe on her back, as rape. Love struck? Yes. Easily swooned? Yep. Hopeless romantic? Probably. Rapist? No. And Chappelle, I know you think you're some pioneer by making a bit about it as far back as the year 2000, but you ain't. And of course, you're a much better comedian than me, but come on, you're overstepping. As a fan of the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, I guess I could have also learned that Bugs Bunny was trans when he dressed up like a woman and tried to seduce and outsmart Elmer Fudd, who obviously perpetuated, I don't know, hunter stereotypes, and the Sylvester the Cat character, who clearly makes fun of people with lisps. Oh, I know, Speedy Gonzalez perpetuates stereotypes of lightning-fast mice. And yet Family Guy goes unscathed. And I like Family Guy. Alright, so back to the article. The cartoon French skunk Pepe Le Pew will not appear in the upcoming sequel to Space Jam following accusations... Who are they accusing? Who did they call? Who did they put on trial? Who did they have a problem with here? The voiceover actor? Was that Mel Blanc? Oh, God. Following accusations that he perpetuates rape culture, according to a new report. How'd you like to be the person putting together that report? You're at your desk, someone walks by, what are you working on? I'm putting together a report about Pepe Le Pew and how he perpetuates rape culture. Okay, security. Anyway, the article says, though Le Pew, I like how they're referring to him as though that's his real last legal name, his legal last name on his ID. Though Le Pew had a starring role in the, like it'd be wrong to call him Pepe. Though Le Pew had a starring, I can't believe what journalism has come to. It's, Amateur Nation is a joke. That's how I came up with the title. All right, I'm going to get through this sentence. Though Le Pew had a starring role in the original Warner Brothers film in 1996, when people were had half a brain, he has been cut out of the theatrical sequel Space Jam, A New Legacy, set for release on July 16th, according to Deadline. Oh, by the way, the age group that cartoon was targeted to was at the age where, frankly, girls have cooties and boys have germs. Right? I mean, yes, of course, adults can watch Pepe Le Pew and the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, where I was first introduced to that character. But that cartoon's targeting little kids. And I don't know, I'm going to step out on a limb here. Not an expert. Why do I even have to qualify that? But until you're reaching puberty, 12, 13, 14, for some even longer, girls have cooties, boys have cooties, they have germs, they're icky, whatever. And if you're old enough to have grown out of that stage by the time you start watching Pepe Le Pew, let's say you're 17, 18, I think you know enough to at least know that that is not rape, what Pepe Le Pew was doing. You go right ahead and delete him from the movie. I'm sure there are dozens of things we could find troublesome in the final cut if we really look for them. Which leads me to my final point on this topic. If you look hard enough, you can find the wrong, or any kind of wrong, or racism, or sexism, or the awkwardness in literally every situation, movie, TV show, book, song, comedy, and art. And it's the people who are looking for the wrong who are the racists, the sexists, and socially awkward without a fully developed sense of humor or common sense. Topic number two. You know, I'm just waiting for when Amateur Nation simply declares rain is not really wet and falls towards the sky and is also racist. This headline from the Washington Examiner: Arizona Education Department encourages talking to babies about racism, says 3-month-olds can be racist. I hope if you're listening to this podcast in your car, you didn't crash with laughter. The Arizona Department of Education has purportedly created an equity toolkit. See, that's the thing. You know, when I lived in LA, I had an earthquake kit. I got a roadside safety kit in both my vehicles and my motorcycle. And I have a toolkit in my, I need one of those equity toolkits. Anyway, they've created an equity toolkit that teaches parents, because parents don't know what the fuck they're doing, do they? You have no idea what you're doing, right? Your parents, you're all idiots. You need the government to tell you what to do and what to read, what not to read. You dumb parents, all these years you were doing it wrong. That teaches parents how children as young as 3 months can develop racial bias and encourages parents and teachers to talk to young children about race. The article goes on to say that babies show the first signs of racism at 3 months old, and that white children remain strongly biased in favor of whiteness by age 5, writer Christopher F. Rufo reported on Twitter. Okay, first of all, no one reports anything on Twitter. You tweet on Twitter. He's like, and now this report on Twitter. No, you got however many characters. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I couldn't do it anymore. It was either that or punch so many holes in my walls that my house would look like Swiss cheese. The article goes on to say the Department of Education recommends a reading that claims babies are not colorblind and that parents must instill anti-racist attitudes and actions beginning at birth in order for their children to not absorb bias from the world around them. Yeah, you don't want your child absorbing their surroundings, do you? Okay, look, I've never been a parent, but I know one thing parents love, and that's being told how to raise their kids. This is where people are like, Lou, you're not a parent, so you're not allowed to chime in on this. This is not about parenting. This is about common sense, and I do have a right. Everyone does, when your intelligence is being insulted. The article goes on to say, at birth, babies look equally at faces of all races. At 3 months, babies look more at faces that match the race of their caregivers, the graphic says. Can you imagine? A 3-month-old who, let's face it, is basically a senior citizen by that age with all their knowledge that they have and worldviews, would tend to look more at faces that match the race of the person taking care of them. How selfish. How racist. That explains why I thought I heard a squeaky, what the fuck you looking at, cracker? When I was visiting my friend's wife in the maternity ward. Last time I checked, I thought we were supposed to judge a man, meaning an adult, by his or her actions. So I'm gonna stick with the common sense angle that the verdict is out on babies. However, I'm confident you, the amateur mainstream media perpetuating this nonsense, are racist. The article says, white parents can and should begin addressing issues of race and racism early, even before their children can speak, the lesson reads. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to stick with trying to teach my baby to say daddy first, okay? The article says, avoiding the topic rather than actively countering it with anti-racist attitudes and actions simply opens the door for children to absorb bias from the world around them. because life is fair and everything and everyone are and should be 100% the same, financially, socially, sexually, mentally. Am I missing any other ones here? Emotionally? The article says the department provides additional resources for families and community, telling white parents that they can have a black friend, partner, or child and still be racist. The article claims that white people deny their own racism to alleviate some of their white fragility. Yeah, fragile? All right, go fuck yourself. How's that for fragile? Oh, I see. We can't win no matter what we do, us whiteys. It's never good enough. So why are we trying again? Amateurs, go fuck yourself with your hate speech and racism propaganda. Topic number three. Yeah, I swear a lot on this episode. And now comes the dumbest, most unnecessary invention since, well, the mask. Thanks to Alert Pro and friend of the show, Samantha G. in Vermilion, Ohio, go to benosy.com and prepare to laugh at these models wearing, I'm not making this up, artificial ventilating noses over their real noses. Plus, they're wearing masks. These poor models, they seem like they probably are attractive people, right? They're probably watching their diet, living in the gym. They might have an unusual look. They probably got to get their hair cut in some funky way they normally wouldn't do it to get modeling jobs, right? Starving themselves just so they can put on a fake nose, a mask, and in some cases in these photos, a hat. The article says, Nozix, N-O-S-Y-X, destroys 99.997 of viruses and filters 99.97 of pollutants and allergens. So they just don't want us to have any immune system of our own, do they? By the way, it also destroys 99.997 of you getting any dick or pussy. One of my favorite insults to my intelligence is under the little tab there where it says our technology. It reminds us that, quote, breathing is a human necessity. If I could just manage to get through life without having to breathe, think of the money I'd save. Here's what's especially interesting. It reads, quote, face mask design is over 300 years old. This means that what you may be wearing is as fit for purpose as a water bottle with holes. Hey, man, they said it, not me. Here's some other fun facts on this website. 1 out of 9 deaths worldwide are caused by air pollution. Yeah, I need a source. I'm not just going to take your word on that. And also, no, it's not. No. Okay. In America, we all know heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. Those are the ass kickers in America. And we have one of the largest populations in the world. Not the largest, but we're up there, right? Hey, how did Steve die? Air pollution. Uh-huh. It also said face masks have air leakage of up to 85%. Don't we want air to go out? Or are they talking about the air coming in? In which case, throw your mask in the garbage. It's pointless. Now, look, you want to order one? Go right ahead. If you're an amateur, go ahead. But the estimated delivery date is May of this year. And they're ready for this? Are you sitting down? Are you in the car? Are you parked? $89.81. I had to convert pounds to American currency. And that's before shipping and taxes. But that's a small price to pay to look like Max Headroom. By the way, you'll also need filters for your artificial nose at $20.73 a piece, or you would do the smart thing and subscribe for artificial nose filters. Imagine, hey Lou, you want to go get a beer? I can't. I got to watch my money because my nose filter subscription bill is coming up soon. Amateur Nation is a joke. That's the title of this episode. Now, originally this next segment in the show started off called 60 Seconds. Then I switched it to Quickies, and I changed it again. It's my show. We're calling this Off Topic. If it doesn't quite fit in the three topics we were discussing, here we go. If Aunt Jemima was so awful, and Pepe Le Pew bothered you so much, and babies are now racist, and the Muppets are minions of Satan, and Dr. Seuss is right up there with Mein Kampf, why now? Lou, we've always thought that. It's just that now we're doing something about it. Okay, and what has changed? What has happened? Is your life better? Did you feel a better sense of ease in the world now? Can you flow through life and your day-to-day life more calmly now that Dr. Seuss isn't around, a book you never read since you were a child? Time has been wasted. You're plenty distracted from the real issues that have happened. election fraud, homelessness, joblessness, illegal immigrants, the decimation of the bar and restaurant industry, the decimation of the small businessman while Amazon takes over everything, a president with dementia, a fence around the Capitol, the fact that you're still wearing useless masks, and stop. Syria is under attack, and we're also no longer energy independent, but at least we got that Muppet thing under control. All of this bombardment of you're non-essential, you have germs, you're a super spreader, you're racist, you're sexist, you're white, racism is worse than ever, everything is awful. It's all designed to create problems, so the evil politicians that spread these problems and created them, make no mistake, they created them, can justify now having to be around to solve these problems. Yes, as I've said before, racism and sexism still exist. Always will, on some level. That's common sense. It sucks, but it's true. The same way bullies will always exist, and adultery, and murder, rape, texting and driving, corruption, bad things will always exist. But you know, things were doing well in the U.S. before the election. You know things, while not nearly perfect, have come a long way in terms of equality since the birth of this nation. You know things were better in terms of energy consumption and emissions over the last couple decades. By the way, I've mentioned this before, the emissions in cars just in the last 20 years has been reduced by something like 90%. Gas-burning cars, 90% over the last 10, 20 years. So the amateur politicians had to come in, stir the pot, remind you that not only do bad things exist, but they're worse than ever. And worst of all, it's your fault. Especially you white people, because there's more of you, right? But don't worry, the government and its corrupt politicians are here to fix what they caused. And thus they justify their jobs and entrench themselves into a position of bribery, corruption, and crime. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. I am so excited to share this with you. Aniara. Man, is this a good movie. Aniara. A-N-I-A-R-A. Okay, so I'm not normally a sci-fi guy, right? Actually, I am, but I tend to like sci-fi movies that have more of a human element to them rather than just pure fantasy or lasers or futurism and just, oh, look, cool special effects. You know, or ones of this dystopian future. I mean, I like, look, fair warning, it's a Swedish film, so it's all subtitles, but so worth it. Here's the log line. A spaceship carrying settlers to Mars is knocked off course, causing the consumption-obsessed passengers to consider their place in the universe. This movie is creepy, tense, has a sense of foreboding, shows how people can cooperate in stressful times, like the pandemic, and also can become selfish and lose it in stressful times, kind of like the pandemic. Especially March of 2020 when the quarantine hoaxes and toilet paper hoarding began. No actors you'll recognize, because it's a Swedish film, unless you're from that area, which helps you become entrenched into not just the story, but their actual world. The special effects are clean. They're believable. They're used sparingly. There's great design and art direction. People underestimate art direction in movies. But think about many of your favorite movies that aren't character or star power driven, right? Best movie I've seen in a long time, and best sci-fi movie I've seen since, it's been a while. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. Since they destroyed the movie-going experience in real theaters, I would have loved to have seen this on a big screen with that great sound, but the movie is called Aniara. Settle in. It's great. Number two. Just when you think the world has been overrun by amateurs, a glimmer of hope. Your headline from MSN.com. Small town moves its one UPS driver to tears with generous gift and a party. Here's the article. Set along central Pennsylvania's Susquehanna River sits a small town of just under 800 people. Blink and you'll miss it, Joe Calhoun, a longtime resident, said. But there is something special here. It's a small town with a big heart. Dauphin, Pennsylvania has no traffic lights and is the type of town where everyone knows your name, including the UPS driver. Chad Turns has been delivering packages for UPS to Dauphin for over a decade. Everyone knows how special Chad is, resident Jenny Schickley shared. If he thinks something might be a gift, and this happened to me, This is the article. She's saying, it happened to me. He literally didn't deliver it when the kids were in the yard. He just drove by, and then he drove all the way back to our house after dark because he was nervous it was a gift and didn't want to ruin it for the kids. Shickley's experience isn't an outlier. Turns is well known in the community for going the extra mile. On Facebook, another friend mentioned there was a package that needed signing and they weren't home, she explained. Chad was nervous that it was important, so he went to their parents' house to get it signed for them. When the coronavirus pandemic swept the country, Dauphin residents reacted like many across the nation, staying home and ordering online. As a result, Turn's workload increased and began resembling the typically busier holiday season. He's been working 60 to 80 hours a week for a year, Shickley said. He's been working Christmas-style hours for 365 days. With the encouragement and support of fellow residents, Shickley organized a Thank You Chad event through a community Facebook page with the intention of doing a big group gift. The funny thing is, I meant to set it up for $300, but it's set to $500, she shared. It hit $500 within 2 days, and the total wound up being a little over $1,000. Adam Kerr, a UPS shift supervisor who is the recipient of deliveries from Turns at his own residence, assisted with the logistics. Shickley explained, he arranged for Chad's last stop to be an on-demand pickup at the municipal building. Chad thought he was going to pick up a box, but it was the community and kids and big signs. Community members cheered and clapped in the parking lot as Turn's brown delivery truck pulled up. Turn said it was very overwhelming. The idea that they even thought of me to do anything, to go above and beyond and do what they did yesterday, was truly amazing to me. Turn said he had been the recipient of generosity all year long, with people offering him water or a cookie along his route, but Tuesday's surprise made him emotional. I cried, he shared, adding that his wife also teared up. I always call her when I leave work and she asks me how my day was. It was a tearjerker. It was very touching and humbling. Number 3. The best meat you might not be eating is duck. Mouthfeel like prime rib. Tastes better than chicken. Easy to make. Fast to make. All right, here's what I do. Just take the duck breast, you score the fatty side with a sharp knife, but not too deep, just enough to penetrate the fattiness. You preheat a blackened iron skillet to medium. Sprinkle some sea salt and pepper on the fatty side and start cooking the fatty side down first, 5 minutes. Season the non-fatty side with salt and pepper. After the 5 minutes is up, flip it. Cook for another 5 minutes. Done. And duck, after you've cooked it, served cold? Oh yeah, that's good stuff. Give it a try. So if you have a topic or you read something or saw something or something happened to you that was amateur or even pro-related, I would love to have something firsthand account from one of my listeners on 3 Pro Things too. Or if you have a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@lousantini.com, and download my book from Amazon. Subscribe to my YouTube page and hear the show on 16 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. We'll see you next week.